With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Let the filibustering begin.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Filibuster here on the Nerd Party. On last week's episode, we looked back at our favourite films of 2020 so far, so it's only right that we now look to the future and choose the films that we are looking forward to seeing at the cinema, if and when they all reopen. I'm Dallas King, and with me as always is your co-host Lee Hutchison. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. Thanks for having me. I say that as if we're not here every other week
exactly,
together.
Yeah. I know, still providing you with weekly content all during lockdown, coming up with increasingly tenuous things to talk about. But this one was kind of, I mean, it could be a foolhardy gesture, given that obviously the film release schedules are in flux, I think it's fair to say, certainly not set in stone. And basically by the time this episode drops, everything could have changed again. Who knows? But part of it was sort of inspired by a conversation I was having on Twitter. Robbie Collin on the Daily Telegraph was talking about how basically, Tenet and stuff like that, Warner Brothers, they need to, I think, realise that if they wait for America to be able to reopen all their cinemas, the rest of the world cinemas may be potentially out of business, because, you know, they've been waiting on this, the promise of the heralded Tenet to come out. Christopher Nolan, you know, has said the film will be there when cinemas reopen. That's all he said, and that's all he said. So there's only so long that cinemas can show classic movies and stuff like that in order to do it. But the conversation sort of turned towards the fact that, you know, there are film distributors who are putting new movies out there, and they're getting slightly peeved with the fact that everyone keeps talking about the films which are not currently in cinemas rather than the ones that actually are, and trying to make a case. You know, part of it is also the fact that I feel that the UK film industry is not in as strong a position as other countries, such as, say, France and Japan, in that if you look at the box office at the end of the year for the UK, it's guaranteed that probably at least 9 out of 10 films are franchise films from, you know, American distributors and stuff like that. And they really need to get back onto focusing on homegrown talent and building audiences for those type of films. So we've decided to look at what's currently going to be screening at the end of the year. We're going to pick 3 films each to recommend, along with one classic film which is going to get re-released and we would like to see again on the big screen, or maybe a film that we haven't seen on the big screen before and get to see it for the first time. But as always, I like to throw a little caveat into the conversation, and so therefore we are not allowed to pick the following 5 films, which, let's face it, are probably likely to move to 2021, if not further. So those films are Christopher Nolan's Tenet, Disney's...
Dallas, I'm going to stop you.
What?
I've got breaking news.
Breaking news? Oh, don't tell me. Has it just come up on Twitter?
So this just got flashed up on my phone. Warner Brother, and I will read this is from Variety, so I'll quickly read this through. This is live.
Amazing, live breaking news. We've never done this before.
On Monday at 5:35 UK time, Warner Brothers has removed Tenet from release schedule, delivering a big blow on the exhibition industry at a time when movie theatres had hoped to peg the reopening on the late summer debut of Christopher Nolan's sci-fi thriller. So we'll cut to it. So we will share a 2020 release. Yeah, so Tenet was originally scheduled to debut on July 17th, was pushed back twice until August 12th. It's unclear when it will now welcome audiences. We will share a new 20... And this is from Warner Brothers chairman Toby Emmerich. We will share a new 2020 release date imminently for Tenet, Christopher Nolan's wholly original and mind-blowing feature. We are not treating like a traditional global date and... We are not treating Tenet like a traditional global day and date release, and our upcoming marketing and distribution plans will reflect that. So that's going to be some interesting thing there. Additionally, for as well, we're at it, the studio has moved The Conjuring 3 to June 4th, 2021. Sources at Warner Bros. Stress that they will have to be flexible with the plans to release Tenet, which means it will not have a traditional theatrical rollout. Movie theatres overseas have already started to reopen, so there's a chance it could launch internationally prior to domestic release. Previous films from Nolan have earned more than 50% of the box office revenue from theatres overseas. Yeah, so that's the breaking news from Variety at Bang On as we speak live.
I mean, we always sort of say... we always complain that we record something and then they re-announce it. So, wow, Warner Brothers, thank you for actually dropping that news bang in the middle of recording. It's very kind of you. It also means that I might have to actually change my third pick, which may or may not have been The Conjuring 3. So, yeah, this is breaking news. This is exciting. So, yeah, that actually sounds promising in terms of international releases, is what I was just saying. They may have decided that actually sod the US and we'll just have to make the money, you know, piracy be it, you know, will it be a premium VOD, you know, $50 in the US to watch Tenet at home, who knows, you know. But yes, as we say, moving times, the situation is fluid, as they might say. So there we go, live breaking news. That is exciting. So as I said, we're obviously not going to be choosing Tenet, or Disney's Mulan, or Wonder Woman 84, Black Widow from Disney as well, or June, which apparently is still dated for the December 18th, 2020, but the fact that Rebecca Ferguson and Oscar Isaacs have recently said that they're going to be doing reshoots soon, and it's, you know, mid-July and the film's out in December, I can't see that one. I think that one might move to 2021. And I think Tenet may maybe take the December slot that it had. Who knows? You know, this is all speculation. We've got no idea. But in terms of films which are still on the calendar, and for this I used Launching Films, which has all the UK release dates on it. I did look at IMDb, but there was, let's just say, slight differences between those ones. So that's what I've used to find my films. Lee, what did you use to make your selections? Because I know you're a fan of getting stuff off of US iTunes as well, so you might have a slightly different list.
Yeah, I've just focused on sort of the UK for this one. For all that it might count that these will be sort of released in UK cinemas, that it certainly looks like they will be. I certainly hope they will be. So I've got my three lined up.
Excellent, cool. So why don't you start us off with your first pick of films, which will hopefully be in UK cinemas before the end of the year.
Yeah, this is one that will be released sort of shortly. Let me see, I should have written down the date. So it's kind of one of these upcoming ones, and that is Saint Francis. So after an accidental pregnancy turned abortion, a deadbeat nanny finds an unlikely friendship with a six-year-old that she's charged with protecting. So written by Kelly Sullivan and directed by Alex Thompson, this is one that's been, seems to be getting a lot of really kind of good buzz, and kind of coming up as well, sort of one of these indie films that are sort of hoping to take advantage of, you know, a more open sort of UK kind of, you know, audience that are looking for these films. So obviously it's written by the film's lead, Kelly O'Sullivan, so that's going to be good as well. And the type of films I've kind of gone for here is that I want to sort of see films like this, you know, these indie films be part of the opening kind of conversation, that everyone's sort of talking about Tenet, all these other various kind of films. Okay, yeah, those are there as well, but this is a really good chance to get these sorts of films back into multiplexes as well. You know, we've got Proxima as part of that initial kind of first wave, and I think Saint Francis sounds like a film that has got this positive craze, positive buzz about it after sort of some festival circuit stuff, and I'm excited to see a film like this in the cinema and not just sort of have these type of films constantly thrown onto the heap of like, oh, it's an indie film, it can go into VOD. No, films like this deserve a chance to be seen in a big screen, and maybe it will just have a shortened window for its release afterwards. So Saint Francis is my first pick.
Excellent. So yeah, for my first pick I have gone with, now you see, I did have a couple of films lined up, but then they're Netflix original releases. They might not have always been Netflix original releases, but I decided not to include them in my list. That was Charlie Kaufman's I'm Thinking of Ending Things, and then also The Trial of Chicago 7, which is an Aaron Sorkin film, which, you know, Netflix seems to be sort of grabbing things. You know, they have done theatrical releases in the past, such as for Uncut Gems, Irishman, Marriage Story over here. But I think given the situation, it's probably unlikely that they'll get a cinema screening, so I've decided to discard them from my list. And so I've picked a film which I saw last year, and you know, we've raved about it a couple of times on this podcast, and it's set for October 23rd by Studio Canal, and that is the A24 film Saint Maud, which features an incredible, stunning performance by Morford Clark in the titular role, as Lady Bird would say. And you know, it's just this really sort of intense, creepy sort of, I described it as, what was it, if Roman Polanski had directed Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. I think that sort of thing, the sort of thing where this sort of nurse is sort of looking after this woman dealing with cancer in this old sort of house in Scarborough, and it's sort of a battle of wills between the two, and you're not sure what's true and what's not, and it's really effective sort of mood piece, and really sort of announces director Rose Glass as someone to really sort of contend with in terms of talent. And I know you're a big fan of this one as well, but this one is still dated for the UK. I know it dropped off release schedules in the US, but hopefully the UK will get this as a sort of Halloween treat, obviously with The Conjuring now moving to 2021, you know, and Halloween Kills move to 2021 as well. People are in need of a horror movie at Halloween, and perhaps this might be the, there's a fantastic jump scare in it, but it's not your traditional horror. It's a bit more cerebral and stuff like that. So people might complain it's not scary enough, but for me, I find it quite unsettling.
Yeah, it's crazy to think it's going to have been over a year since we caught it in the London Film Festival to release. There's something almost old school about that, and a thing that you sometimes would get it there. You see a film at a film festival, then it kind of rolls out a few months later, you know, a bit of quiet buzz. With this, like, a full year, like, it's, you know, it's not unsurprising, but I think by the time this film will come out, I think people will have been bored about everyone banging on about it for a year and be like, fine, I'm just going to go see it. But yeah, I think this is an excellent pick, and one that I didn't put on my list because I was confident that you were going to pick it. So yeah, I thought that would be the one we would potentially cross paths on.
Oh, there might be another one, you never know. But I know Kim will be upset if this one gets pushed back any longer, because she's had to listen to us rabbit on about it for over a year, and she's kept missing opportunities to see it. So hopefully that one sticks a landing on October 23rd. But what else have you picked for us?
Yeah, so just a heads up, St. Francis comes out on the 24th, so you can catch it in English cinemas from this Friday, and hopefully in UK Scottish cinemas from the 31st. So this is another one. This one comes out on the 31st of July. So a lot of people might be caught by the idea of what going along to see Inception and getting some extra footage from Tenet. But if you're looking for an interesting film that's coming up, it's from Curzon, I believe, and that is Makeup. So this was a film I caught at the London Film Festival last year. And I sort of, it's one of these ones that, again, sort of by default has managed to take on a little bit of an interesting edge. So this one's called Makeup, and it's set in a remote holiday park in Cornwall, where a young woman is drawn into a mysterious obsession when she suspects her boyfriend has cheated on her. So this one's got a really young cast, where it focuses on that time of the year when all these sort of like caravan parks, etc., are sort of shut down, everything's getting the deep clean, everything's getting prepared for, you know, the upcoming sort of you know, tourist season. And you've got this really great young cast with Molly Windsor, Joseph Quinn, and Stephanie Martini. And it's all about this sort of like really kind of weird sexual tension and dynamic between these three in this very quiet, abandoned sort of, you know, caravan park. And I think this is a really fantastic film. One, if people have sort of taken on the 52 Films by Women challenge, you know, that certainly ticks a box as well. And it's one that is very much a fantastic mood piece, and went down really well with audiences at the London Film Festival. So yeah, Makeup, out on the 31st of July.
Yeah, no, I read the synopsis for this one, and it definitely piqued my interest enough that I'll probably, you know, hopefully it's one that I'll be able to catch at the cinemas. Obviously, you know, off the top of my head, it feels very much like art house sort of a Belmont type film, but I mean they're it's looking like the sort of the smaller independent cinemas in Scotland are certainly not going to be opening probably until sort of September the latest, but hopefully one of the three multiplexes in Aberdeen gives a wee punt on this one and I'll be able to catch it. If not, I'll go with the old video on demand, I think, for that one. For me, second film, I was saying that people need a horror film, but I've actually picked two horror films in my top three, and a remake at that. Well, actually, it's not a remake, it's a sequel, I think, according to the trailer. It looks like a sequel. And this is Naya Costa's Candyman. Not Jordan Peele's Candyman, Naya Costa's Candyman. And she is the director of Little Woods, which came out last year, and was actually a really sort of interesting sort of debut. I know you watched, I think, last year for the 52 films by yeah. Women Challenge, and was really sort of shows that she's got great promise. And from what I've seen, you know, no one, I don't think anyone's really screaming out for a remake slash reboot slash sequel to the original Candyman at the moment, because there's already been one, Candyman 2, Candyman's Daughter. But I was really impressed with the trailer that dropped. Abdul Mateen III, who sort of stole the show on Aquaman, was fantastic in Watchmen stuff. He looks really promising as the sort of this artist painter who moves into the old neighborhood where the first Candyman is set, and sort of uncovers sort of new mysteries around the character. And just the look and feel of it looked great. And then there was also a new teaser trailer that dropped with this sort of hand cut animation sort of style, sort of telling the story of Candyman as well. And everything about it at the moment looks very impressive. To the point where if they did a trailer with Christina Aguilera's Candyman, and I would be sold, and I would be, take 14 days self-isolating quarantine afterwards in order to watch this on the big screen, I think. Is this one that you might be looking forward to?
Traditionally, no, but I'm desperate to see anything at the moment. But what really caught my attention was sort of like the talent involved in it, and I think it was like, I've lost all track of bloody time now, but they sort of released that sort of like mini sort of the opening credits imagery,
yeah.
And God, that was stunning. So yeah, I'm really interested to see it. I've not watched the original Candyman since I was a little boy, so yeah, this is one that's definitely got my interest kind of perked up, and I think it could be a nice kind of Halloween kind of watch for people.
Yeah, it's interesting that, what you say there, it's like, you know, people with unlimited cards are like, I've got an unlimited card, I'll just watch whatever, that's fine. You could almost find a sort of situation now where people who were maybe a little more discerning about what they saw at the cinema might just be like willing to give anything a go just to be able to go and watch something at the cinema. So it's going to be interesting to see what sort of does well at the box office and stuff like that. I mean, if you look at like the US box office over the last few weeks with the sort of the classic films, it's interesting to see what's topping the charts. And so I think Ghostbusters was top one weekend and stuff like that. So it's clear that there are audiences out there willing to get back to the cinemas. You know, I'm sure hopefully they're all being safe while doing it. But yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see what eventually sort of people go for when they get to watch something on the big screen. And what's the final film which you have picked to go and watch on the big screen when it comes out?
Yeah, this was an unsurprising pick, but one I'm so excited to watch again. And it's not just sort of British cinema, but it's supporting Scottish cinema. And, you know, usually a Scottish kind of film, something like Sunshine on Leith, something like Trainspotting, always guaranteed to sort of fill Scottish cinemas, you know, with people trying to support it. And I think Our Ladies could really be that kind of crossover hit. Another one I got the chance to see last year at the London Film Festival, and another one that was just nipped in the bud. It was due to be sort of released in April, but a lot of positive praise for it at the Glasgow Film Festival as well. Our Ladies is set in 1990s Scotland, and a group of Catholic schoolgirls get an opportunity to go to Edinburgh for a choir competition, but they're more interested in drinking, partying and shagging than winning the competition. This is just such a crowd-pleasing film with a really great female-led Scottish cast. One, you know, and similar to sort of St. Maud, I think everyone that's seen it came out of it, raved about it and enjoyed it. I mean, the English audiences loved a very Scottish film as well. So I want to see this film sort of with a home audience, you know, packed cinema screens within, you know, within relative terms, of course. And I think this one would go down really well. And I think it would be a real crossover hit with young people, women, children, indie movie fans. I think this is that, it's, you know, a perfect storm that they've managed to brew here. And I really hope people will get behind this film in cinemas when it comes out.
Yeah, no, this is another film which was at the London Film Festival and Glasgow Film Festival, and fate again conspired against me to miss it at both of the festivals. So yeah, no, this is one I'm very sort of looking forward to see. The trailer looked fantastic, and I'm excited to see if your sort of theory whether or not they have to CG out the Harry Potter stores on Victoria Street and stuff like that will come to fruition or not.
Yeah, they've got the time now in lockdown to perfect the film in terms of, like, let's tackle those signs.
Yep.
Though I was very sad to see the restaurant that looks like a brothel across from the police station has sadly been a victim of the COVID shutdown. So it could have had, like, a bump up in traffic if people had watched that and went, oh, there's a brothel in Central Edinburgh. I might have to go along and check that out. Little did they realise it was actually a fine restaurant establishment that has now gone bust. So, you know, a potential tourist opportunity poofed away.
Well, the potential tourist opportunity of, you know, deep fried kebabs from Avengers.
Exactly.
Infinity War, it never happened. So, I mean, I don't know what the Edinburgh Tourist Board are playing at, because they really should have sorted that out by now. It's mad. But the final film, which I have got, actually, I'm going to call an audible, because given the way things are going, who knows if the French Dispatch will actually get released. I'm going to go with a film called Peninsula, which is a sequel to the 2017 Korean horror film Train to Busan. And this is set 4 years after that initial train journey, which was saw at the start of a zombie viral outbreak in South Korea, and sees an old soldier sort of heading back to Korea in order to basically steal some gold and stuff like that, and then finds himself trapped on the island where they've basically, the world has gone mad, and sort of people are surviving any means they can, and whether that it's sort of turning into sort of a strange Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome situation, I think, where they've got people betting on whether or not people they capture can fight and survive against zombies and stuff like that. And it looks like, you know, obviously being on a train, this film was very self-contained. This is the one which opens up the world, and just from the sort of two trailers I've seen so far, this looks like it will go balls to the wall in terms of action, and I'm very much looking forward to it. It's, I think, currently sort of penciled in for around about sort of September, October, but I guess obviously with things that could change. But it just topped the I think it was the box office in sort of Korea and Hong Kong, because they're managing to slowly open up around that edge of the world. But yeah, no, this is one I'm definitely keen on, and I think we both probably would have put French Dispatch on there if as well, because, you know, we're big Wes Anderson fans. But I mean, it's not one which would need us to promote it. It will probably do very well on its own, so that's why I've made the last minute audible call for that one.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic film that you've kind of recommended there. I mean, the box office that it did at the weekend in sort of Korea was fantastic, and it sort of gives hope that with the right, you know, work done to the cinemas and sort of the compliance from cinema goers and people like that, that we can make a success of this, you know, project relaunch for cinemas.
Absolutely, and I'd love to see it marketed with, hey, this film's from South Korea, so it's Parasite. If you love Parasite, you'll love this film as well, you know. There's clearly, you know, there was, you know, it did get kiboshed by the coronavirus, but it, you know, there was clearly an audience starting to come back for foreign language cinema at the cinema, so to speak. So yeah, I think this one could do very well if it manages to reach our shores in one piece. So we will see. But obviously, you know, given this whole Tenet thing, you know, people, lots of cinemas were sort of taking tentative steps to have a couple of weeks of just playing sort of old films, sort of classic films which are getting re-release, or sort of ones which you may have missed just before lockdown, such as The Hunt or Bloodshot with Vin Diesel. I think that was a lot of people I know's final film before lockdown. So would it be their first film back? Who knows? But in terms of the films which you've seen, that I know Cineworld released a list of the big films that they were going to try and get people to come back to the cinema with, which classic film would you like to see on the big screen again, or for the first time?
It's slightly frustrating because I've been lucky enough to have seen nearly all of these classic films that they're kind of recommending and sort of putting up there. So things like Blade Runner, it seems to be get like a yearly sort of release, it feels like, in the cinemas now at this stage. Star Wars, I was really lucky enough a few years to go to actually get to see it on the big screen at a film festival event, which was nice. But I think it's the curiosity thing of now, like, now that Tenet's delayed, it's got to be Inception. Like, I'll have, you know, we're not, I'm a bit frustrated that they're doing the thing of like, hey, we're just going to show like 4 minutes of kind of footage of Tenet, you know, like a glorified trailer. You know, we've not been able to get the traditional sort of Christopher Nolan prologue to a film, you know, being released. So I would have loved if they had sort of attached that onto the end of Inception. But beggars can't be choosers, so I'm going to take 4 minutes of Tenet footage, and hopefully it's worth kind of revisiting Inception for the second time in a year for.
Absolutely, but I think it's not only Tenet. I think they were planning to do like almost like a Warner Brothers showreel, and you should probably also get some footage from Wonder Woman 84, and then also if they do have a teaser trailer for Dune, yep. I think that might potentially come up as well, I think. So, yeah, you might get a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, a trailer medley is always good and stuff like that. But yeah, an interesting kind of one. Yeah, that's probably gonna have to be my pick and stuff like that. I mean, there's I'm a bit frustrated in terms of the range of films some of these places have picked. I think it would have been a good opportunity with a James Bond film coming up later this year. I mean, they didn't even make it sort of onto the list of films that exhibitors could choose from. I would like to have seen, you know, maybe sort of taken inspiration from like the amazing Prince Charles cinema of like, why don't we kind of go with their route of like picking these vintage films, making sort of little events and stuff like that. That's something that I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I guess they probably didn't put them on the list just because they maybe they were worried that the Bond film might move again, which apparently it does look like. So they would have whetted everyone's appetite only to then leave them gasping for more, I guess. But no, I'd be interested to see Inception on the big screen again, because just to see if everyone still gives that example, that amazing audience reaction at the end. You know, there might be people who'd never seen Inception before. I'd be interested to know if they still have that sort of gasp of annoyance of just like, oh, come on. But, you know, Inception, I think I've only like, you know, it's a film which, you know, we watched recently for the Nolan rewatch, but it's a film which I remember seeing, loving in the cinema, but it has been a long time, so maybe. But I think, you know, I will obviously be there for Blade Runner. You know, obviously I'm going to watch Blade Runner on the big screen again. Any opportunity Blade Runner comes up to you on the big screen, I will do it, so that's a given. But I think I am going to have to go with The Empire Strikes Back on, although only 2K. That was such a bizarre thing for them to do. It's like, if you open on the 10th of July, we'll give you it in 4K, but because you're opening at the end of July, you can only have a 2K release. And it was like, all right, okay, doesn't make any sense, but okay, fine, fair enough. But I'm intrigued just to see if it is, which version it is, whether it's a special edition or whether it's the, that probably is not the, even though they did buy 20th Century Fox, I mean, technically they probably could play the original version without any of the unnecessary CGI tweaking and stuff like that. But it's a film which I've not seen on the big screen. I missed the one at the Edinburgh Film Festival a few years ago, so I haven't seen it for 23 years on the big screen. So I think I would be willing to give that one a go. That would certainly get my Cineworld card up and running again, I think. So yeah, that's the one for me. So that's our recommendations for when your local cinema is back up and running, and hopefully you can enjoy something on the big screen soon. But you know, we also like to do a weekly recommendation of something you can enjoy from your home, whether that's on VOD, TV, maybe a book, a podcast, something like that. So Lee, what have you selected for our listeners this week?
Yeah, for this week's episode, I've gone with the Rewatchables podcast. So their most recent episode is one of my kind of all-time favourites, and they looked at 25th Hour, the Spike Lee film. But recently they've had guests on like Quentin Tarantino picking films like Unstoppable and Dunkirk, for example, to dive into. You know, they sort of really look back on those films that people maybe just sort of took it a bit face value, but have become sort of films that people have really enjoyed sort of diving into. So the level of discussion is always really interesting, very humorous, and always a great selection of guests. So yeah, the Rewatchables podcast, which you will find on every sort of podcast platform.
Excellent. Yeah, no, that sounds an interesting one. Yeah, I've sort of done a wee dive into the Quentin Tarantino ones, because yeah, the sort of Dunkirk one was fascinating, and yeah, Unstoppable I think is a really sort of underrated action film, although part of me is always, when I think of it, I go to the SNL spoof that had Jay Phoenix doing his Denzel impression and stuff like that, and it's very, very funny. But yeah, it does mean that whenever I think of that film, I think of that first, which is a shame. But for me, I'm going with another book this week, and it is from a person who I've already mentioned on this episode, and it is Charlie Kaufman, who has written a novel called Ant Kind, and it's safe to say that the novel is pretty much exactly what you would expect from Charlie Kaufman, and it is about a neurotic and underappreciated film critic who stumbles upon an unseen film made by an enigmatic outsider, and it's, in his opinion, the greatest movie ever made, a 3-month-long stop-motion masterpiece that took his reclusive author 90 years to complete. However, when the film is destroyed, B knows that it's his mission to show it to the rest of humanity, so he must try and recreate it from his memory and from a single frame. So yes, it's described as Kafka-esque, but basically it's pure Kaufman-esque, perhaps. And this is just arrived. I ordered it, it was meant to be out a week ago, but Waterstones, despite pre-ordering, for some reason, failed to send it until now. So I've just got it, so I'm looking forward to diving into that this week. And then, you know, I love all his movies, even the underappreciated Synecdoche, New York. I think it's going to be very much more Synecdoche, New York than being John Malkovich, but it sounds just right up my street, and it's around about, it's 720 pages long, so it should keep me going certainly through the rest of lockdown, I imagine.
Yeah, I've picked up some, I know Jim Carrey's done some work with him as well on adaptation, so I've picked up his audiobook as well, which is read by Jeff Daniels, so yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that one and then heading towards the Charlie Kaufman one.
Absolutely, so that brings us to the end of another episode. I won't be here next week, but Lee will be bringing you an interview. So, Lee, do you want to tease what people might be able to listen to next week?
Yeah, she's been a brief guest on this before. Well, I mean, we could be jinxing ourselves here with the way cinemas are now going. So, yeah, Proxima is going to be one of the first films to sort of open up a UK cinema. So we're joined by the writer-director, Alicia Winokur, to just talk about the making of this film and releasing films back into cinemas again. So look out for that chat, or not. You know, who knows what's going to happen. We might just be back in 2 weeks' time talking about the latest news from Comic-Con, which will be kind of unfolding the second half of this week. So, yeah, if there's no episode that next week, you know the UK cinemas have been absolutely destroyed. We'll get back to you. And if you hear from us in 2 weeks, I'm sure we'll just be chatting about Comic-Con. So there you are. You've got two options of what potentially could be happening for this podcast. So enjoy.
Absolutely. So yeah, keep your fingers crossed that you get an Elise Winokur interview next week, because if you do, that means that the week after, you'll get Lee and I discussing what it is like to go back to a cinema after lockdown. We'll see you soon.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky?
In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.